Welcome back to Diary of a Tax Practice Owner. I am your host, Jamie Gruhl, and with me I have Jessica.
My co-host, Jessica Smith.
And today we have an exciting guest on the podcast, which is Kirsten Reeder. And Kirsten is an enrolled agent and a certified digital bookkeeper, and her firm, Purple Sapphire Business Solution, provides tax planning and preparation services to small business owners and bookkeeping services exclusively to businesses in the tax and tourism industry. Her entire firm is virtual, and she lives in the beautiful state of Colorado, while the rest of her team spans the rest of the country from East Coast to West Coast. And so being in the travel and tourism industry makes a lot of sense being in Colorado there, Kirsten. So welcome.
Thank you.
So excited to have you. And today is actually a little bit different than our normal podcast because Kirsten is actually a client of ours in our Workloads for Tax Pros program. She's been with us for several years now. And what we got to do was help Kirsten set up her tax dome system to allow her to enjoy this virtual business lifestyle in her favorite state of the country and get to be able to work with people from all across the country. And so we're going to hear about her story, her journey today, about how she built this practice and all of the exciting hurdles, stories, and even accomplishments that she's had throughout the years. So Kirsten, first, would you mind sharing with us a little bit about your journey, the highs, the lows, everything in between, and how you got here today?
Yeah. So a bajillion years ago, I was an accounting major in college, fresh out of high school. I've always wanted to be an accountant. I don't know why, but even in high school, I was like, this is really fun. I ended up dropping out of college to go to work while my husband was in vet school. And then I stayed home with my son after he was born. And I was a stay-at-home homeschooling mom for 18 years. And I've always wanted to start my own business. And I've always loved accounting, but I didn't know how to do that, especially when I'm staying home with my kids. And then I saw an article back in 2015, written by a guy saying, oh, hey, here's how you can start your own online bookkeeping business. And so I took his course and that absolutely changed my life. And I started my business in 2015. I got my first client in 2016. And at that time, I just did bookkeeping. They're still my client today. And they actually are in the tour and activity industry. And so that's how I got into that realm. But I started out just doing bookkeeping. And then in 2018, I decided to, well, I guess it was in 2017, I decided to add tax to my practice and I became an enrolled agent. And so I passed all my tests and everything in 2018 and started offering tax prep. And the first couple of years, I was able to do things just by myself. I had my bookkeeping. I had taxes. I don't honestly remember what sort of system I used to keep everything straight as far as taxes. Maybe an Excel spreadsheet? I think so.
Tried and true Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, let's not let we love Excel spreadsheets.
Well, right here. I think that's what I did. I honestly don't remember. I had nothing for bookkeeping, though. I just was going off of what was in my brain, which is frightening. And then I started to grow and things started to fall between the cracks a little bit. So I had to hire some people. And I actually took a position as an executive director of a bookkeeping a professional organization for bookkeepers 1 year on top of everything else that I was doing.
Wow.
And so at that point, I definitely had to hire some part-time help preparing taxes. And I don't remember if I had any bookkeepers working with me or not. If so, it was very part-time. I ended up resigning after about a year because I just could not do all the things, because I'm still home, even to this day, I'm still homeschooling. I was doing math with my 9-year-old about an hour ago. And so now, once people heard that I do taxes and I don't poach from bookkeepers, a whole bunch of bookkeepers started referring clients to me for taxes. And really this year, or well, this past year, we've had so much growth. And so I hired about 5 part-time preparers.
Wow.
For this season. And they're still with me. But now we're to the place where, okay, we're really taking off. And I started using TaxDome back in 20, I don't even remember what year it is now, but I feel like that's an ongoing tax issue. I never know what year is it now, because I'm looking ahead to 2025, but we're working on 2023 taxes. And so I never know what year it is.
Yeah, we don't know what year it is. The difference with the tax season and the actual year,
yeah.
People are always like, why are you confused? I'm like, well, exactly. Just yeah.
Exactly. And so I think I started using TaxDome in 2021 because, like I said, things were starting to fall through the cracks. Do I need to e-file this person? What do I need to collect from them? Have I collected everything? I don't know. What questions do I need to ask? Have I sent them their invoice, et cetera, et cetera? So I started using TaxDome then, and I knew that I was not going to be able to put it together on my own. And so that's when I purchased your course, which has been amazing. And so, yeah, we've just seen such immense growth.
So I would love to ask you a few questions just to follow up to that story, because that growth over these last few years is huge.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you think that... Like when it comes to your client experience, because that is really like one of our big focuses, is it's not just about like creating efficiency for you and making sure things aren't falling in the cracks, but it's really about leveling up your client experience and providing them better communication, better follow through, better asking of things of them, like getting documents and answers from them so you can actually prepare a solid, complete return. How do you think technology and TaxDome in what you're using in your case had helped you with doing that? And do you have your clients celebrating the changes that you've made in your practice?
Yes, I do have several clients that have said, oh my gosh, I love this new system, which I'm thinking to myself, I do too. Yay. I do have a few that aren't quite with it. They, no matter how many times I say, if you upload it in the organizer, you don't have to upload it elsewhere. And so then I have like 5 copies, or they upload it in multiple places in the organizer. So yeah, there again, I've got 5 copies, but overall they seem to really like it. And I love that I can send out some personal touches, quote unquote, when it hits a certain point in the pipeline. An email goes out that says, hey, thank you for signing or something. I don't know. I forget what all I even have in there, but something to say, hey, we filed your return. Be waiting to hear back from us. I'm super excited about the new client-facing statuses so that I sat down with my team and I said, okay, we've got to come up with some statuses for the different pipelines. And we thought of the returns where we come across something weird. And so it's going to take us a little bit longer because we have to go research something. We thought, we should have some sort of researching status so that when they log in to check, just wanted to check in. That has become almost triggering for me, that just want to check in. Oh, I hate it. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Great stuff, lady.
But when they just check in, they'll see a status that says, hey, we're taking a little bit longer because we had to go research and make sure that we are doing what is most beneficial for your particular situation. That's something that we came up with. I'm really excited about the changes in our communication with clients. And like I just said, it's not this ongoing irritation for me or for them. when they have to check in, or because they don't have to check in as often, I'm able to communicate with them where we are in the process. And yeah, it's been a lot more organized, I feel like, on their side of things also.
Just as far as the experience that they're having.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the frameworks that we have is breadcrumbing them to success, right? So it's not about one massive communication at the beginning of tax season where you're like, I need you to do these 50 things. It's about each step of the way, we make sure that they're getting a little tidbit and instruction about what we need them to do right now. Have you found that makes a big difference?
It does. But a lot of my people, if they're new to me, they're used to having to just upload all the things. And yeah. I'm like, okay, just wait. Or they're waiting for me to tell them exactly what I need to send them. And they haven't even signed the engagement letter yet. And I'll say, well, okay. Or their spouse has not signed the engagement letter, so it hasn't moved in the pipeline. And so there's a, are we supposed to be doing something right now? And I'll say, hey, yeah. Your spouse hasn't signed the engagement letter. Once they do that, then you'll get an organizer asking a whole bunch of questions. And I recently actually just had a guy, his wife had not signed the engagement letter. And he's like, so I haven't heard from you. I said, oh, well, your wife hasn't signed the engagement letter. Once you do that, then it'll send you more information. So then he gets the organizer, and because he had already uploaded all sorts of stuff, he said, yeah. He's asking the same questions. I said, well, some of the things you probably have already uploaded. And if that's the case, then you don't need to upload them again, because we don't want the one and the two and the three and the four. But yeah. There are some other things on there that you may still need to send us. And there's a bunch of questions on there that we need you to answer. Things like, what's your child's birth date and things like that. It just, as I'm sitting here talking to you, it just dawned on me, maybe because I'm always thinking in pipelines, maybe I should come up with a conditional tag for new clients that sends them, I don't know, an email or something with a video that explains, here's how this is going to work.
I love that idea.
If you're new to our practice, this is a little bit different from how you might be used to working. I promise we've got it together. It just doesn't look like it, maybe, because it's all at one time. And so I just happen to think that can be one of the very first things. If they've got that tag that they're new, they get sent an email or a Loom video that I've made or something like that.
What I love about that idea is it's one of those things where you do it once and you don't have to do it again.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I think that's what people don't understand about automations and the power of it is you, Kirsten, can provide an amazing client onboarding experience with one video that you get dolled up for and you just record it and you're like, hey, welcome to the firm. Here's how we work. You're going to get an invitation to join our portal. Or if they're already in the portal, you don't have to add that. But like, you're going to go through these steps when we onboard you for our tax prep. And that is all you have to do. Yeah. And that will help so much because this industry is slowly catching up to technology times, which is a wonderful thing. But the clients have to catch up with that as well as the practices. And so to your point, if they're coming from an old school, like old fashioned firm, moving over to your type of firm, this is going to be a different experience for them. And so I love that you're problem solving right here with your pipelines. Beautiful.
I think the pipelines probably more often than I should, but I love it.
Other team member, right? I know for you guys lean into the pipelines a ton too. I mean, do you guys see them as a team member?
Oh, absolutely. I was able to delay hiring an admin for probably 2 years just because of TaxDome. Otherwise, I seriously was planning to hire what I was going to call a hounder. And their job was going to be to hound clients for their stuff. And because of TaxDome, I did not have to hire a hounder. I can use Taxidome as my hounder.
Yeah. Awesome. How about you, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of the hounder because, you know, sometimes that's just, it's just a necessary part of the kind of work that we do. I do laugh at the fact that from a tax compliance perspective, like most adults, this is an every year kind of thing. So it is strange to me that every year with some people, we have to go through the same song and dance and be like, hey, remember, like, we do this every year, like this big bill that you're probably going to have to deal with, this really important thing that the government wants to know, like we need to do this again. And you're having to like remind them again, or like, let's not repeat what happened last year when we were rushing to the deadline, or you forgot this document and then got some little love letter later that this was missing. So what I did have always enjoyed since embracing Taxidome is it's given my team a little bit of a reprieve to be able to get work done for people who are like giving us the work timely and early, per se. And then when we get to the point where that work has been completed and we're reviewing where people haven't given us stuff, those automatic reminders have been super good because some of those people really do respond well to those. And then that eliminates a lot of manual follow-up on our end.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we are making the more like personalized reach out, it's not to the masses, it's more targeted to the people who really need it. That was a big benefit. And then just, again, taking the things out of my head and put it onto this platform that allowed me to just make a standard level of service and expectation. It just changed the way that people perceive what work I was doing. Because sometimes this perception is, oh, well, if you don't get my return filed by the deadline, if you have to file an extension, like you messed up. You just didn't prepare well enough. You didn't work hard enough to make sure that this deadline was met. And we're over here like, we can't throw something together in 3 days.
Right.
Like that's why we asked you in January and February. Giving me something on April 12th doesn't mean you get a filed return by the thing. So I've enjoyed that process of it. And it did help to keep what probably otherwise would have been multiple staff roles to a number that like made me comfortable because I'm not a manager.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not a manager.
Right. I love that. And I think being able to be streamlined and efficient with your team allows them to also work better. So Kirsten, you have team members all across the country. How has having a virtual cloud-based firm made hiring easier for you?
It expands my talent pool greatly.
Ugh.
I'm not limited to just the people in my area. I mean, I live in a major metro area, so I know that there are very talented people from around here, but I can access everyone really. And that has just been a blessing. We have very strange working hours. I hired them for 5 to 10 hours a week because at one point I thought, okay, I've got about 30 hours of work. I don't necessarily want to hire someone for 30 hours because if they leave, I don't have the capacity myself to absorb that 30 hours. So I'm going to spread it out. It's a little bit more work because I'm having to train 3 different people, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a little bit more of a soft place to land in case one person leaves. I could absorb 5 to 10 hours. I could not absorb 30. So we went with that model. And again, we were able to reach into some areas where maybe it might have been more difficult to reach if I would have just limited it to this area. Also, I mean, I'm virtual. I'm literally sitting in a she shed in my backyard right now. And so we don't have a storefront. We don't have a place for people to come. And if I'm virtual, and if I were to hire somebody from around here, they would be virtual too. So they might as well be in North Carolina or Michigan or wherever. I don't care. like our team meetings, because we've got East Coast, West Coast, and then one of my employees on the West Coast, he works a 9-to-5 job. So our team meetings are on Thursday nights. It gets a little bit late for the East Coast people, but they seem to be okay with it. They all agreed to it, said, yeah, that'll work for us. And so, yeah, it's weird. Like if I have to take my kids somewhere, I'm like, well, I've got a team meeting. So at 7 o'clock p.m. my time, but it worked for us.
Yeah. I think my next question was going to be around how has building in automation and using workflows, methods, giving you more freedom? And I think that's part of it, right? Like you have the freedom to work the hours that work for you.
Honestly, I think the biggest piece of freedom that, and I feel like we don't talk about it very much, is the freedom that's in my brain. Because as a mom, as a homeschooler, as a business owner, all the things land in my brain and I only have so much space. When before I had automated things or any sort of workflow system, I was having to rely on my brain and it was exhausting all of the time. And now that I use this, I don't have to think, oh, I've got to do, I mean, I do still think about that stuff all the time, but I don't have to. I can go into Taxdome and say, okay, who's ready for their stuff to be filed? Who needs to do this, that, and the other? I can rely on that. It's like with my Google Calendar. If Google Calendar ever dies, I am in trouble because I don't remember where I'm supposed to be ever because I rely so much on calendar. And the dings, I have to have a ding. I have to have like an audible thing.
Yep.
That would be great if Taxdome could ding. That'd be fantastic.
Feature request.
Yeah, feature request. I need to ask it to ding. So yeah, that's probably been the biggest piece of freedom has been in my brain, internal freedom. But yeah, just being able to go where I need to go, when I need to go there. I'm always transporting some child someplace, usually the gym. My 14-year-old is very into the gym, but he does not drive. So it's going to be a happy day. When he can drive himself to the gym. Today he was saying, hey, when can you take me to the gym today? But it's things like that where I know what I need to do thanks to my workflows. I know when I can work on what and work it out then.
Yeah, I love that. How would you, let me start that question over again. But when you look at Taxdome and setting up Taxdome. I know you found Taxdome, you jumped into it, and then you came to Workflows. How is Workflows helpful in getting your Taxdome set up? And what has been the benefit of being a part of Workflows for Tax Pros?
I did not fully understand the concept of jobs as Taxdome uses that term now. So Workflows for Tax Pros helped me understand that a little bit better. And the templates that you provided, I'm not a great start from scratch person. I am a great, give me a template and I'll tweak it.
You're semi-homemade.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
What did you say, Jessica?
Semi-homemade. It's a HGTV series that they host, I believe, or maybe it's a Food Network, but I believe it's by a woman named Sandra, and she's totally adorable. And she talks about how she makes all these wonderful recipes by using like a mix of fresh and like canned ingredients. And I love it because like she's very open to the fact that I'm a busy mother. How do you expect me to be a homemaker and make everything from scratch? Because I want to provide my family with nutritious meals and all this good stuff, but I can't do that from scratch every single day.
Right.
So I we're definitely the semi-homemade team when it comes to workflows for tax pros. Because it, you're right. I don't always work well from an idea from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Having someone say, hey, here's the idea that I have, that I've worked out the kinks this way, take it as it is or modify it to your own needs. I do appreciate a lot of what we put together to give that to our audience, workflows for tax pros, because there's a lot of people like you. I'm not going to figure this out from zero.
Right.
Get me to 20 and then I'll take it from there.
Exactly. So yeah, those two things have been the biggest help. And having a place to ask questions, and y'all always have the latest info on needs. I love that.
The team has done a fantastic job, I think, in the Facebook group. What I've noticed as more of like just an outsider and a coach who has new ideas that come in occasionally, what I see a great benefit has been for so many of our members is the difference in how the conversations are held, surrounded around the system and helping each other versus maybe how you see them in other Facebook groups and even in the TaxDome community group, right? Like some people are more open and receptive to a suggestion. And I feel like that's really evident in our group because everyone's like, just give me the juice. Give me the juice. Tell me what works for you.
Exactly.
And I don't always see that in some of the other groups. There seems to be a lot of resistance to the people who really understand this system, saying, hey, this is what you have to potentially do. And sometimes you see, no, I'm not going to do that. And well, I don't feel that we have that as much. I feel like it's very much like, that could be something that could work for me. Let me test it and like come back to the drawing board and like, hey, I tried it. It didn't work. Or I tried it and it's fabulous. I love that about what we're kind of bringing to the table with our group.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes people will ask a question in the workflows for tax pros group and someone will say, yep, that is a issue with the software. Here's my workaround, versus in like some of the other TaxDome groups, because they let people in there who may or may not use it. And they'll say, oh, that's one of the reasons why I don't use TaxDome. And I switched blah, blah, blah. Instead, I'm like, then you are of no help to me at all, because I'm not looking to switch. I'm looking for a workaround. Everybody's like, oh, well, it's not. It's entertainment. It's da da da. Someone said, client says, put it to marketing, put it to marketing. And I said, please do not put it to marketing, because the tax pro is relying on the bookkeeper to have properly categorized this transaction. And that is not fair. And they are not going to go digging in each category to see what is and is not in there.
I think people think that's our role, though. It's obviously in our tax prep engagements, like mine says I'm not going to audit or otherwise verify the information you give me. I do browse, right? Because you'll see people put things in there and I want to at least pull to their attention some questionable stuff. But I do think that people think that we are IRS auditors.
Yeah.
And it is hard to explain to somebody that's not what our role is.
Yeah.
And that really doing something like that, putting something in a category that it truly doesn't belong. Oh, we'll just call it marketing. When the client does get audited, the auditor will actually sometimes say, well, you are putting things in categories where they don't belong. And therefore, we're going to question all of your items. And we want to see what else you might be putting in to these items as and hiding expenses to be what would otherwise be a normal expense. And I've had to say that to people in the past before, because they're like, oh, well, I just did this. I just did that. I'm like, but this willy-nilly putting it in this category where it doesn't truly belong, especially if it is a disallowed expense like entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people get in trouble. And again, everyone's like, oh, well, the audit risk is so low. And I'm on the side of like, I just don't want to hide things in categories where they don't belong.
Exactly. Yeah. So telling bookkeepers, here's why this is important. Also, I mean, from a very practical standpoint, do they really want to be asking the tax pro all the time? Oh, what should this be? What should this be? What should this be?
Right.
Makes them look stupid. So I talked about that sort of stuff, just how to handle the equity section in an S corp or a partnership or whatever. I'm talking about all that sort of stuff. And everybody has been begging for a course. So I'm in the process of putting together a course.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And Jessica, you as well, about how TaxDome has really transformed the way your operations work and has allowed you to create such a great client experience and also work efficiently and keep your overhead down. I think that is something that a lot of people don't think about. When they look at the TaxDome is $800 and they're like, oh my gosh, how can I invest that much into a piece of technology? It's like, that is a drop in the bucket when it comes to hiring an admin, hiring additional staff. You can easily 2x your capacity or at least 50% increase in capacity by implementing something like TaxDome and getting rid of all that admin work. So I think, Kirsten, you've proven that on what you just shared. But I have one last question for you today, Kirsten, that is what we ask all of our guests, because we have a lot of people on that listen to this podcast that are newbies to seasoned professionals. And I would love for you to talk more to the newbies. And that is, what is one piece of advice that you wish you had received when you started your journey toward building your tax practice that would have helped you immensely in those early years?
Yes. Pretend that you are going to lose your memory like tomorrow and record everything you do, whether it's a Loom video, Scribe, both, whatever. Record everything you do so that you can have these processes in place, these SOPs, if you will, because you won't have the time when you actually need them to create them. And if you do it as you're going, it'll build a habit. If you are in the habit, because that's something that I am struggling with now. Oh yeah, I got to click record to do this. If I'm already in the habit of recording everything, then it's like a piece of cake whenever I do actually need these to pass on to a team member. And I think it can let you let go a little bit faster. When I hired a bookkeeping manager, I am no longer doing any bookkeeping in my own firm. I have team members who are doing that for me. But I had one client that, because everything was in my brain, there wasn't anything set in stone, it took forever for me to pass the reins on this one particular client. And so that would be my biggest piece of advice, would be to just record everything. Even if it's just in Loom or a Google Drive with a whole bunch of Google, not Sheets, what are they? The
Google Meet.
Yeah, Docs. Whatever. Yeah. And that way it's there and you may need to tweak it later, but it's just there.
Yeah, I love SOPs are the game changer when it comes to efficiency. And I think the cool thing about documenting early in your practice is that when you do decide to implement something like TaxDome, it makes the transition very easy. You're not having to regurgitate all the things that are in your brain at that time. It just allows you to be like, this is our process. How do we take our process and add a layer of automation into it and leverage the features of that? And then how do we layer in the automations, a client experience that's really stellar? And that's basically what we did in workflows, and we gave that to you. And it was like, okay, here's the standard process. Now tweak it to your custom needs, and then it's all baked in there. So it takes that step of having to figure it all out and pull it out of your brain. So you can then just make the minor tweaks necessary.
Exactly.
But I love that. Well, Kirsten, I know you have some very exciting things coming up for the bookkeeping world in the near future. I would love for you to share where people can go, follow you, and whatever you want to share today so that they can stay in touch with you and learn more about what you've
done. Yeah. So I'm on Facebook. I think it's like Flash or whatever. Purple Taxes is the actual address. My company is Purple Sapphire Business Solutions, but that's too long of a name for any sort of tagging or URL or anything. So it's just Purple Taxes in the URL box in Facebook or whatever. Or you can search Purple Sapphire Business Solutions. I'm also on LinkedIn under Kirsten Reeder, and that's with an I-N, K-I-R-S-T-I-N, Reeder, because everybody misspells my name. So that's where you can find me on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Great.
Super excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll drop all those links in the description below so you can catch up with Kirsten and stay in touch with her. If you have any questions about what she's done or built, is it okay if they reach out to you, Kirsten?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Kirsten, so much for being with us today. Jessica, thank you, as always, for being here and sharing what's going on in your practice as well. And we look forward to seeing you on the next podcast, where we'll be talking with another fantastic tax practice owner and hearing their journey to success. We'll see you then.